Well, I don't know if you noticed, but in the Bible reading today, I hope you did notice, that the Bible reading today was from John's Gospel. And it's very different to the other Gospels with how it starts. The other Gospels, and the Gospels, are, by the way, are a story of Jesus' life, and there's four of them. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. John's the fourth one. And we're looking at John's Gospel today, and John's Gospel is very different. You look at the other ones, and one of them gives you a genealogy of Jesus through his mum. In other words, it tells you who Jesus is because of who his mother was, and then who was the father of his mother, and the father of the father and father and father, and all the way back. But then with Joseph as well, there's another gospel that gives you the genealogy of Jesus through Joseph. John doesn't, though. It doesn't give you a genealogy as such. Instead, it sort of really says that there's something very special about this baby. This baby was born and had a mother. And we're also told in the gospel accounts that there was a man who was Mary's wife was there as well, Joseph. But with John's gospel, we don't get that. We get something much different. And last night, we were looking at this idea that that in the very beginning, there was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so John's gospel starts very differently. The Word that John is referring to is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. He's a message from God to us. And so it starts very, very differently. And so we're looking at part two tonight. We're going to be in John's Gospel all the way through to Easter time. And so this is where we're starting. We started last night. Now we're in John chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. If you've got a Bible, you might like to have it open as we go through it. I've got three really simple points. Two of those points were in the song Joy to the World that we sang. Where it says that Jesus reigns or rules with truth and grace. And they're two of the ingredients that we have in this reading this morning. And so this talk I've called The Light of Grace and Truth. So we're going to start with point number one, three points. First one is that this idea of Jesus as the true light. That Jesus is the light of the world, but he's not just any light, he is the true light. He is the true light that gives light to you. So in verse 9 it says, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. One of the things that it's told us that we looked at last night is that everything was made through this word, through Jesus. So this little baby that's born at Christmas time is the one through whom all things were created, and it is because of him that you have light and life in you. And so John makes it really clear that this is the true light. This is not a false light, this is the true light. That he gives light to the world, and the world was made through him. So we're told this again in verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. But in verses 11 to 13, we're told that even though he had made the world, and the world was made through him, but the world didn't recognize him, it says that he did come to those who were his own. And for the people in the time of John, for the people of Israel in particular, for the Jews, they would have understood that Jesus, this word, came especially for them, the children of Abraham, indeed the children of God. And we see a picture of this in verses 11 to 13. It's not easy stuff to understand, but that's just a bit of a snapshot, I hope, that you can see. This idea that, as John wrote this, that Jesus had come as a Jew to the Jewish people. But the reality is, we know, no spoiler alert here for a second, we'll find out when we get to Easter, but the Jews reject Jesus. And so he came to his own, the children of Abraham, but they didn't recognize him. And yet in verse 14, we're told that he is the one and the only. It says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. And they're those two words, full of grace and truth. Jesus is this true light. Well, I did some Googling during the week. I don't know how I prepared sermons before Google, but there's this term, false light. It's a legal definition, apparently. It means an untrue or misleading portrayal. To be a false light is to not be true. In fact, the legal term false light is often used with regards to defamation and things that relate to that. This idea of being a false light means that you shed light on somebody else, but you do it falsely. You make somebody else look to be somebody or something that they aren't. But the interesting thing is Jesus is the true light, and he does the opposite. When Jesus shines his light on us, he doesn't shine and make us look to be something that is different to who we are. He actually shows us for who we really are. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God," that's Jesus, "is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And it penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." This is the true light. The true light shines on us. The true light is in us and helps us to see and understand. Indeed, he sees and understands the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's a little scary, isn't it? The reality that John is telling us here and that we're being highlighted in Hebrews as well is that Jesus knows who you are and he knows who I am. And in some ways that's good and comforting that baby Jesus who was born in Bethlehem at Christmas time knows who you are and knows who I am. But the Hebrews passage puts a bit of an edge to it that makes it almost a bit scary slash creepy, doesn't it? That he can judge the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Jesus knows who we really are. And that's confronting, that Jesus, the true light, knows who we really are. But that's where I want to flick into the second point, and that is the idea that Jesus is also a very gracious light as well. So that although he is a true light and he sees us for who we are and he highlights who we are in our brokenness as well as in the places and parts of us that maybe are not so broken, but as he does that, he's also very gracious. Now, I don't know if you've thought about the relationship between truth and grace. One of the things that they tell us is that when you are giving somebody truth, in other words, if you're feeding something back to somebody, you're giving them feedback or you're giving them some helpful criticism or a critique of something, that you should give them four amounts of grace to one amount of truth if they're going to survive. Nobody likes it when somebody just gives them truth. You know, I've got something I need to talk to you about. You do this really badly, full stop. That's not good, is it? None of us like that. So this idea of four parts grace to one part truth. You did this really, really well. And I love how you were doing this. This you could do some work on, but this was good as well. We prefer that, don't we? That makes it much easier and better to handle. The great thing is that Jesus knows who we are. He is the light of truth, and yet he's also gracious. But it's not like Jesus is just one part truth and four parts gracious. Did you notice how it describes him in verse 14? It says that he's the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and full of truth. There is no part of us that is hidden to him, as Hebrews says. He's able to judge the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And yet at the same time, there is no part of us that is so broken that he turns his light away from us. Indeed, he shines all the more in our direction. And so this idea of him being a gracious light, we see it in verse 12, that he's given us the right to be children of God. Even though he knows who we are, he still invites us into his family. And that is why at Christmas time, we have this story of God coming to earth because Jesus was on a mission to help draw us in to God's family. And so he's given us the right to be the children of God. That is graciousness. What is grace? It's something that we don't deserve. It's forgiveness when we have done wrong. It's acceptance when we're not acceptable. It's love when we are not lovable. Those things are grace, God's blessings on us that we do not deserve. And so there's this idea in verse 13 as well that we are somehow born of God through Christ, through this baby coming into the world and his mission and ultimately where it would lead to a cross. He will die for us, that we will be able to be in God's family. And I love in verse 14 this idea that he takes our form. I don't know if you've ever been in a fight with somebody. You probably have. I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily hitting somebody, but just, you know, a disagreement, a strong disagreement, there's strong feelings. And then you end up doing the silent treatment. You don't look at each other. You don't talk. You just avoid. Why? Because you're waiting for them to crack, aren't you? Jesus doesn't do that. He becomes one of us. He comes to earth. It's not just that he moves in our direction, but he accommodates us. He becomes one of us. In fact, the Christmas story is that he becomes a baby. Innocent, small, vulnerable. He took our form and he comes to us. Jesus comes as the true light, but also the gracious light. And then the third thing is, I want to bring those two things together. As I mentioned before, in verse 14 it says that he is full of truth and grace. And so we have this thing that Jesus brings these two things together in a way that we often find it very hard to do. As a parent, or as a school teacher, things I've had experience with, but just in relationships in general, and we see this all the time, don't we? The idea of holding truth and grace together is so hard, isn't it? It's easy to be somebody who's full of grace. Oh, that doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. If you've seen a parent who does that, there comes a day when grace is no longer an option. And there is an explosion of truth. How is it that you can be full of truth and grace? To show forgiveness and love, and yet still realize that right is right and wrong is wrong. It's interesting that a lot of belief systems rely on either truth without grace or grace without truth. Belief systems often tell you that you've got to do this and do this and do this and do this, and if you do enough of those things, then maybe you will get in. That's truth. There's a right, there's a wrong, and I've just got to get more right, more right, more right. There are belief systems that suggest that. There's other belief systems that suggest it's all about grace and not about truth. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether you hurt other people. It doesn't matter if you live a selfish life. It doesn't matter if you declare war on other people, because there is no truth, there is no right or wrong. But Jesus comes, and he's the only one that I know of who holds the true there fully. Just to make sure that we're all on the same page, I remember hearing one person say, yeah, Jesus has this balance of truth and grace. It's a bit like that four parts grace to one parts truth. It's got to be balanced somehow. It doesn't necessarily need to be equal. It's got to be balanced. And in any given situation, we need to find that balance. Because sometimes as a parent or as a teacher or something in somebody's life, or just maybe with your spouse or somebody you love or somebody at work, at some point we need to realize at this point we need truth right here. But you've got to make sure you don't let go of grace as you do that. Or at some point we need to say we need more grace here, but you've got to make sure we don't let go of truth. And so this idea of a scale doesn't really work. You see, the reality is Jesus came as somebody who is 100% grace and 100% truth. He's both. We need both all the time, but we also need wisdom to know what that looks like. And it seems as though God has that wisdom, because on this day we remember that to make truth and grace both work together, he would have to move towards us, that he would have to offer himself as a sacrifice, so that his standards, his truth, the truth, could not be compromised. And yet he would not lose us. So he sends his son, full of truth and grace. 1 Corinthians 13, I referred to it a couple of weeks ago as I was talking about love and the way we were looking at practicing the way of Jesus and thinking of love. It describes love as truth and grace. I don't know if you've ever noticed that list of things in 1 Corinthians 13 that describe love. There's this idea that love needs truth to be love. It says love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love recognizes that there is a right and there's a wrong. That there is a best thing for somebody else, and there's also not. And then the other thing is that it also recognizes and welcomes grace. It says love is patient, that love is kind, that love is not easily angered, that it keeps no record of wrongs. Love is full of truth and grace. And so I want to finish this morning with just these encouragements, I guess. These encouragements of how you can live in truth and grace if you would like to. The first, and these things happen best in relationship, I think, with Jesus. The first is to know who you are. These two things don't necessarily have an order. They're both important, and I think as you walk life with Jesus, they're both there all the time, full of truth and grace. But the first is to know who you are. We're told in Scripture to confess our sins, to remind ourselves of our brokenness, to remind ourselves of the truth. Not so that we can wallow in that, not so that we can feel shame, but rather so that we can move past that. But we first need to understand who we are. As Jesus says, we need to work on our own plank, and not the speck in other people's eyes. Essentially, I summed it up by saying we need to keep it real. We need to know who it is that we are. But the second thing is that I'd like to encourage you is to know that you are never alone. To know that you are never alone. One of the things I was thinking of as I prepared this talk was that idea of that movie, Gravity. I don't know if you've seen it, with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. I did watch it fully, but I remember watching the trailer. The trailer was worse because it just left Sandra Bullock floating in blackness, lost, alone. And it's just that idea, isn't it? What is it like to be completely alone with no light, just this darkness and cold and alone? It's one thing to know who you are, to know your brokenness. But it's another thing to know that you are broken, but you are not alone. And so I would encourage you as well this week, this year, next year, 2021, to know that you are never alone. I'd encourage you to slow down for loving union with Jesus. Jesus is always there, ready to be with us, have fellowship with us, encourage us, connect with us, to remind us that we are loved. And so I'd encourage you to walk with Jesus. What would that look like? It's often a little bit different for each and every one of us. For some people, to really be able to connect to God in a meaningful way, sometimes it helps to go into nature, to sit, to listen, to slow down, to get away from the busyness of life, and to simply let God know that you are listening. Sometimes God is speaking, but the busyness of life, the noise of life, drowns out God's voice. Sometimes we need some silence and some solitude to be able to hear what he might say to us. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that each and every one of us would have a sense of Jesus' presence, that we would have a sense of his truth and his grace in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you that he came, that he moved towards us, that he took on flesh and became one of us. We want to thank you that he came full of truth and grace. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to move towards that light, the light that is your Son, Jesus. Lord, help us to walk with him. Help us to be real with him about who we are. And at the same, help us to remember that we are not alone. Help us to be able to sit and to have fellowship with you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.